Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now here's David Allen, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
David Allen here with you. Paul Jay and Chris Walton on vacation, so Nate Shellman joins me for Bronco Monday.
This is fun.
This is fun. And joining us from Champaign, Illinois, Bob Beeler. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Getting ready to go over to the shoot-around, and the game tonight will take place at 7 Mountain, 8 Central, and the winner will move on to face the winner of Illinois State and Central Florida. So, hey, Broncos are still playing pretty good.
And you know what? There's more Mountain West teams in postseason than there is ACC teams now.
Yeah, well, I think it's a tie now.
Oh, is there an ACC team in the NIT?
Team left in the NIT.
Okay.
Georgia Tech is left. So
I just love the fact that
it's 2-2. It's 2-2.
All right. So. I just love the fact that there were 9 in the NCAAs and now there's 1.
Yeah. Well, they started out with a lot, but the first weekend came and went, and the ACC seemed to win.
Yeah. So you talked to Coach Rice on Saturday, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. And Boise State comes off this big win with Utah, which they were down 11 in the second half. It was the biggest deficit Boise State had overcome all season, and able to win the game over the University of Utah 73-68. And Coach Rice talked about what that win over the Utes meant.
That was a milestone and a step for the program and a step for these young guys to go on the road to a program we respect, a program who I thought, on tape, I watched them on tape, and I'm like, man, they're really good. And to go in there and just to win the way we did, where we just hung in there, we won with some grit and some toughness, and we made, heady plays down the stretch.
It was a pretty important win, and I'll tell you, I thought when they got down 11 early in the second half, they might have been done, but that team showed resilience that they have shown all year.
Well, and Chandler Hutchison played like an all-conference player. I mean, a career-high 34 points, most points ever for a Bronco in a postseason game. And then he also talked about being able to win when they made only 3 threes, lowest three-point total of the year. They were 3-for-16, and Duncan and Reed only had 2 points each. So kind of an unexpected win under those circumstances.
You score 4 points between the two of them, and I would have said we'd probably lose by 20. Especially the way Utah had, they beat Cal by 30, 10 days before or whatever. And, so I was worried about that. And so if you would have told me that, I would have said we had no chance. So credit to those other guys. And, Chandler really put us on his back, especially in that first half when nobody else, scored. And that's how we kind of challenged those big guys at halftime and said, if one of you guys can step up, we got a chance to win this. And they did.
4 points, Bob. 4-point output.
Yeah, it just wasn't their night. I mean, with the athletic guys like Dickinson taking it to the basket, Hutchison taking it to the basket, Utah really defended the three, not wanting to get beat by the three. They weren't beat by the three. It was guys taking it to the basket against their big guys. And when he mentioned somebody having to step up, the guy was Zach Haney, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 steals. He was the big guy that played well in the second half. So that was a good news. Now, in the middle of the game, David Wacker goes out. Coach Rice had bad news on Saturday. Boise State's going to have to find some minutes to take over for his 20 that he normally plays because Wacker's going to be out.
He separated it or dislocated his shoulder, and that's a tough one to come back from. So, it's probably, going to be it for David. We've had pretty good luxury all year of not having injuries. I mean, we've had some minor things, and guys been able to play through some stuff. And, bless David's heart, he's been able to play through a stress reaction all year. And we probably aren't where we are if he wasn't able to do that. But this one's probably not going to be able to do it. And, the good thing for us is we've got 3 bigs that we've been playing, and they've all gotten experience. Well, now, those 2 others, their role is going to have to increase. They're going to have to play better, and they're going to have to be a big factor for us.
As Coach said, Bob, that's why you play 3 all year, so that you don't have to worry about this situation.
Well, Illinois is going to be without Michael Finke tonight. He is also a 6'10 player, and he averages 7 points and 4 rebounds. So I think this time of the year, he's got a stress fracture in his foot as well, although that wasn't what, in the end, sidelined Wacker, it was a shoulder injury that he sustained in the Utah game. So I think this time of the year, you do have some people with a lot of nagging bumps and bruises that have been season long. And then, of course, Oregon in the NCAA tournament lost a player, you know, to a knee injury that just was one of those that you get hurt and you're out. So always tough when people you played all season long can't go in the playoff game.
844 now at 670 KBOI. Let's hear some more audio when we get back from this break, Bob, to get ready for tonight's game against the Illini. Boise State takes them on pregame at 6:30, tip at 7 o'clock on 670 KBOI. As the morning sun
peaks. Now, back to Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
David Allen, Nate Shellman here with you on Bronco Monday. Bob Beeler joins us from Illinois as the Illini and Boise State will play tonight. Pregame at 6:30, tip off at 7 o'clock right here on 670 KBOI. Bob, what else did you learn over the weekend?
Well, Illinois, 19-14, fired coach John Gross at the end of the Big Ten tournament. Jamal Walker, his top assistant, is the interim coach. He coached them to victory against Valparaiso in their first game. They hired a new coach yesterday, Brad Underwood from Oklahoma State. So I don't know what kind of interest there is in the game tonight. There seems to be a whole lot of interest about Illinois picking up a new coach, getting the Oklahoma State coach after 1 year in Stillwater. He made his name, of course, at Stephen F. Austin. So when we look at this Illinois team, they look big, they look athletic. We'll hear what Coach Rice now thinks of the Fighting Illini.
The Big Ten team with some really good big guys, and they can shoot. And, you know, they got some great players on the perimeter that can score. And we've got challenges all over the place, no question. And like I said, they got good size, they got good athleticism, good quickness, and then they can really shoot it.
Malcolm Hill, second team all Big Ten. He had 25 against Valparaiso, averages 17 points, 5 rebounds. He is one of just two players in Power 6 conferences that leads his team in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. To me, it's the Malcolm Hill show, and Boise State is going to need to slow him down a little bit. I think if you can hold him to his average about 17, you're going to be doing well, but you can't let him explode for 25 or 30 like he did last game.
Like most games that Boise State's played and played well this year, it's really going to come down to defense.
Well, you look at what Boise State's done in the games that they've been beat this year, it's generally been because they've allowed the opponent to shoot 45% or better. So I think as the case goes, Boise State normally can score, but it's the games they play defense that they generally play well. And one of the things that I think makes playing defense difficult this time of year for both Illinois and Boise State is that the teams don't really know each other. It's kind of unique playing teams you really don't have time to prepare for.
And there is a grind to the league. They know all your stuff. They know what you're going to do. You know where you're staying. You know what there is an excitement to get to play in a new opportunity. And, you know, I think our guys will be excited to play that.
They've had the weekend to look at tape, though. I mean, but that's still not enough time.
Well, I think that helps as far as this game. Illinois had basically 5 days to prepare where Utah had won. I think Boise State benefits when there's not as much time to prepare. Because Boise State is a skill team, a team that runs a lot of plays, a team that, you know, is a very complex offense. And I think when you get to the second and third time in the conference and then you play them year after year, I think those teams know how to defend them a little more than teams that don't see them. Now, how much time Illinois put into the game plan will be interesting because you have a group of assistant coaches that probably are looking for work, trying to send resumes out, maybe wanting to spend a little more time with Tat than actually looking at film. So we'll see how that works tonight. And, of course, whoever wins tonight and then whoever wins the next round gets to go to New York, and that's the goal of the NIT.
That's the carrot, and that, you know, it's a lot of people that have played in this event have told me about that, you know, that it's a great experience, and yeah, we'd love to get there. And but it's not, the, you know, we know the task at hand, and we know what we have to do.
Madison Square Garden is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've had a chance to call games in the finals at the NIT. It was my last season at UMass. I'll tell you what, they do wine and dine you. It's a lot of fun. Best arena I've ever called a basketball game in, and I hope that Boise State can have the opportunity to get to New York City. It's going to be a tough challenge. The team tonight, Illinois, is big and athletic, and they've got a star player, and I think in postseason games, your stars have to come out and play. So I'm looking at a tough challenge tonight. Illinois State and Central Florida playing about 45 minutes away over at Illinois State. If Illinois State wins that game, they'll host no matter who wins this game. And if Central Florida wins, Boise State wins, Boise will go to Orlando for that game. But, you know, you got to win this one here tonight, and I think it's going to be a tough challenge. I think a lot will depend on how Illinois is focused and what their mindset is coming into this game. Because I know the Broncos will be ready.
Bob, every game on the road is tough, but I mean, you got a couple of Bronco fans that made the trip to Utah. How many? The Broncos are just all on their own now in Champaign, Illinois.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few fans. We've been some random places over the years, guys, and there are always those five or six people, and you wonder if they're local or maybe drive down from Chicago or up from St. Louis, but you always see somebody in a Bronco hat or a Bronco shirt. I have a feeling we'll see a couple tonight, but there were several hundred that were at the game at Utah. You're absolutely right, Nate, and I think that did help. Tonight, I think it'll probably be fingers and toes, and that's probably what's going to be in the stand.
All right, 8:51 now at 670 KBOI. We'll be back to wrap up Bronco Monday and talk more about the game tonight next on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 8:53, Bronco Monday. Just a reminder, tonight, pregame at 6:30, tip-off at 7, NIT Tournament, Broncos taking on Illinois there in Champaign, Illinois. Bob Beeler joining us from Illinois. Bob, you're getting ready for tonight. Shoot around just a little bit.
Sit on the bus right now, Nate. It's empty. In about 5 minutes, there'll be everybody piling on the bus, and we'll be headed over to the I guess it's now the State Farm Center. It used to be Assembly Hall, so one of the places that gets a sponsor name.
So let me ask you what the mood is like of the kids. I mean, everybody obviously is very excited to be winning against Utah and playing again and with the chance to go to MSG if they win again. Is anybody looking too far ahead, or do you feel everybody's just dealing with the game at hand?
Oh, I think everybody's dealing with the game at hand. I think you look at the Big Ten and the way they played in the NCAA tournament. You know, folks like Michigan and Michigan State and, those teams in the tournament that have done well. So, no, I don't think so. I think they look at the size that Illinois has, the athleticism that Illinois has. I mean, they're 19-14, but only four of their 14 losses have been to people who are not in the NCAA tournament. So I don't think anybody's looking at Illinois State or Central Florida at this stage. I think it's all on the Fighting Illini.
Has this been a blessing in disguise for the Broncos to take an early exit from the Mountain West tournament? Obviously, they would have loved to have gone further in that, but had they gone further, would they have gotten this NIT invite and had the journey they've had?
Well, no, they would have gotten the NIT invite. There's no question about that, because their resume would have looked better if they would have won some games. But Nate, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I think maybe they're fresher for it because, you know, only played one game against San Diego State. Not that you want to lose and get eliminated. But you look at Kansas, they lost early in the Big 12 tournament. Sometimes I think if you lose early in a conference tournament, if you're solidified where you are, you're going to be fresher to play in the next tournament. Boise State only would have gotten to the NCAA tournament if they won it. So even if they'd won a couple of games, it really wouldn't have improved their tournament.
We just got about 60 seconds left, Bob. Talk about another Mountain West team. Colorado State still playing. They play this evening.
Yeah, they do. They're playing Cal State Bakersfield, surprise winner over Cal. Colorado State's going to get lucky. It looks like they're going to have every single game at home in their bracket. If they should get to Madison Square Garden, they're higher seed than everybody left. So I fully expect to see the Rams in Madison Square Garden, and hopefully Boise State can join them there.
That would be a good thing. 6:30 tonight, pregame. It'll be you for the half hour, and then we've got tip-off at 7 o'clock. The Illini, it's a second game that Illinois and Boise State have ever played together.
Yeah, they played a few years back when Coach Graham was the coach. It was in December of 2009. Illinois won a spirited game, 84-77. Here was one of those one-game deals, and that's the only history between the two teams. Share common colors, although the shade of blue is not quite the same. Theirs is more of a navy, ours is more of a royal, and both teams have orange as a second color.
Well, let's hope royalty wins tonight, Bob, and we go with that. Have a good call.
Yeah,
thanks for joining us this morning.
I want to do a game on a Wednesday. I want to keep this thing going. I want to get to New York.
I want you to do that, too, Bob. I want you to have that game on Wednesday.
Nate wants to have a 4:30 pregame on Wednesday, too. I'm not going to lie to you, Bob. It's all he's been talking about all morning.
We'll see what we can do for you, Nate.
All right. Have a good call tonight, Bob. Thanks for joining us this morning. All right. That was Bronco Monday. Nate and I will be back after the top of the hour news with all the issues of the day on 670.
3.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
0-2. Neither Chris Walton nor Paul J. are here. David Allen in for Chris. Nate in for Paul J.
Hello.
Todd with 1D still pushing all of the buttons.
Still going to be here this afternoon.
I don't I don't care about that.
Well, no, somebody texted you earlier, emailed you or messaged you, I got weirded out, I thought I overslept.
They called in, yeah, because they called in, they said, I heard Nate this morning, I thought, oh, gee whiz, I overslept. I go, yeah, no, it's not that dark at 4 o'clock in the morning, because it was 7 o'clock hour that he called in.
All Nate, all the time.
Luckily, we're not in ratings.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
Wait, oh, sorry, there you are. A menacing Donald Trump is gazing down on Phoenix's Grand Avenue. The president is flanked by mushroom clouds and swastikas configured like dollar signs. Quote, I think a lot of people are feeling this way, and I'm just trying to express what I think is on a lot of people's minds these days, the Billboard's artist Karen Fiorito said Friday in an interview from her California home. Something that really concerned us was this idea of a dictatorship where things were going in a certain direction. It's called the three stages of government. You might want to look into it there, Karen, you idiot. President can't be a dictator. But look closely at the mushroom clouds and you'll see clown faces. There's a Russian flag on Trump's lapel. I tried to put a little bit of humor in things that are really dark and hard to take. The billboard art was commissioned by the billboard's owner, Beatrice Moore, a longtime patron of the arts on Grand Avenue. Some of these issues are so important you can't not speak out. You can say a double negative, but you can't not speak out. The Trump billboard went up Friday on 11th Avenue and Grand to coincide with the start of the annual three-day art detour event in downtown Phoenix. Moore said it would remain up as long as Trump is president. So 8 years. This isn't the first time Fiorito and Moore put up controversial billboard art. In 2004, she created a billboard of President George W. Bush. Nothing about Obama. And top government officials for her Master of Fine Arts thesis on political propaganda at Arizona State University. Dear America, the billboard said, we've lied to you for your own good. Now trust us. Moore and Fiorito did expect blowback from Trump supporters. She said she has received death threats over the Trump billboard. A lot of hate. Things have gotten a lot more escalated now. I just hope that everyone involved is helping bring the message out is safe and that all and that we can all get through this unharmed, Fiorito said.
What's the message? What's the message? I mean, her message is what? He's Russian. He wants to get into war and he likes money.
And he's associated with Hitler somehow.
Okay.
That's her message.
And the
whole dictatorship thing that she's talking about.
It's not exactly unique. People did say that about Obama. They didn't put it on a billboard probably in Arizona. Maybe there was a few billboards. I know there was a local artist who drew a picture of Obama with swastikas in his eyes.
That's bad.
No, it's not. How is it bad?
It's bad. You can't.
Yes, you can.
Here's the
you
thing.
Say you can't one more time.
You shouldn't.
Well, yes, you should.
No, you shouldn't.
If you feel that
because
way,
here's
you
the
should.
Thing. It goes like this. The head of Starbucks, when Donald Trump came out with his wall, he said, we're going to hire 10,000 immigrants. That's what we're going to do just to fly in the face of Donald Trump.
Right.
Did you see where he's stepping down? Because sales have plummeted because of him being an ass?
Okay, but that's free market stuff. He's the president of the country, and you can't do this in a lot of other places. That's why we have the ability to make fun of our leaders. We can just lampoon them if they want.
You can make fun.
As distasteful as it might be, you can do it.
I have no problem making fun. There's nothing funny or making fun of associating the Nazis or Hitler with anybody.
Oh, please.
No.
I'm sorry. You know what you should do? Get offended by it. Get really offended by it.
I am offended by it. I'm not going to do anything about it, except that I think it's, you know, she talks about all these things happening in the country. She's a propagator of this hate. She's spilling into it.
But
whatever
when you
happened
say
to,
she shouldn't do this.
No, I changed it. I said she shouldn't. I didn't say can't.
Okay.
She shouldn't, because whatever happened to love Trump's hate? What was that all during the campaign when Hillary was running? Love Trump's hate.
It's a great chant.
We're not going to do it. Love Trump's hate.
It's a great chant.
Works
great on bumper stickers.
Ever since he's been elected, all I've heard is hate, hate, hate from the left.
Well, the artists obviously hate him. He wants to cut. He wants to cut public funds for federal funds for arts and endowment.
Nothing wrong with that.
And so what? So it's not like they're going to kill all art. But for everybody who gets so wound up about this stuff, for death threats are the other thing, too. You don't need that. That's
Here's
ridiculous.
Here's the thing. I will 100% agree with you. The artist shouldn't get death threats. But there are repercussions for what you do. And if part of her repercussions is nobody cares about her art, or that somebody goes up there and whitewashes that billboard because they don't like the disrespect to the office of the President of the United States. She shouldn't be surprised by that.
Well, that's an argument. If you get into an argument with somebody, that's fine. When you put your own feelings out there and say, I think so-and-so is just like a Nazi, as much as you don't like it personally, so what? You know, then you can either choose to engage or choose not to.
You can't argue with somebody who equates somebody that's in office here. I don't care if it's Obama, Bush, Trump, Beter, Otter, I don't care. When you equate them to the Nazi movement and Hitler trying to exterminate all the Jews.
Oh, I disagree again. I think you actually have to argue with
what
them.
What has Trump done to be associated with the Nazis?
Oh, they'll call him a fascist.
No. I said, what has he done?
Ask one of them.
He's done nothing to be equated with the Nazi Party.
To them, the travel ban is. To them... Oh, hold on.
First of all, it's not a ban. Stop using that word.
Oh, please.
It's not a ban.
It's a ban.
You're waiting 60 days. That's it.
It's a 60-day ban.
No, a ban is you can never come in the country.
It's a 90-day ban. It's a 90-day ban. Call it a ban.
I knew you would be an idiot today. I just knew it.
336-3700. 336-3700. I'm an idiot because you disagree with me.
No, you're an idiot because you're an idiot.
An hour ago, you called me a Nazi. I'm half Jewish, for God's sake.
I didn't call that half a Nazi.
Oh.
I call the Catholic part of you a Nazi.
All right. Yeah. I think you can do this. I think you can do this.
You shouldn't do it.
I think it's healthy to do this.
It's ridiculous to do it. We're taking your calls. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. David and the Idiot.
Into Savage on 670 KBOI.
918 now at 670 KBOI. David Allen, Nate Shellman in with you. KBOI rewards code Billboard. B-I-L-L-B-O-A-R-D, Billboard. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword Billboard, and you will get your 5,000 rewards points.
336-3700. You can email me, nate@kboi.com. By the way, this is really cool. Thank you, Chris and Paul J, for letting me fill in with David this morning. It's neat. Sheldon emails in, says, holy crap, I agree with Nate. I don't care if somebody wants to equate a political figure to a murdering tyrant or an exalted deity. It's all free game. Maybe some of those murdering tyrants could have been subdued had the citizens had the time, at the time, had free speech we enjoy. Sheldon. The thing is, it's the off-limits thing. I'm a fan of words. I've said it before. The words mean something to me. And when you... I'm looking at you.
I'm David. Looking at you.
Okay. When you say, you shouldn't do this, that makes the hairs on the back. We can lampoon and we can make fun of everybody else, but for some reason, the presidency's hands off? Now, I would agree with this if it was like his wife or his kids. I'd say, okay, they're hands off. But for Trump or for anybody who's elected, for any of our elected officials, we could do it. We hang people in effigy. We don't actually hang them. We hang them in effigy. You know, it may not be the language you choose. It may not be something that you want to see. It may not be the message or political belief that you expound, but you can do it, and you can get in these arguments with people when you look at them. Look, I would love to see you look at this artist. I'd love to look at this artist and say, how exactly is Trump like Hitler? How? Because I don't see people being rounded up right now, unless they're illegal. And that's, you know, we're not going for cleansing. We're going for breaking the law. Okay? I don't see that happening. And I'd love to just watch them go, well, it's going to happen. It's the same fear that people had 8 years ago with the brown shirts and Obama, that they were going to round up and take everybody's guns away from them. You know, because that was the big message then. This is healthy. It's healthy discourse. Name calling is actually healthy. It really is.
It's lazy. If your argument comes down to, and I know I joked about it earlier, but if your argument comes down to you're an idiot, that's lazy. There's nothing to be gained by name calling.
Didn't?
I said it as a joke, even though you're pretty much an idiot right now.
Well, no, because there's Dallas actually likes the show, Dave and the Idiot Show. I'm here for the new Monday morning show. I'm entertained.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Steve in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. Morning, Steve.
Well, Nate, we're having a great time this morning.
Yeah, right? We are.
You know, when you start posting falsehoods to inflame the public, that's when your hatred turns people into lunatics. In many cases, And, you know, I agree with you on your free speech thing. But when you are, you know, equating somebody with a mass murderer when he has no history of it, that's when you cross the line. To me, this even is worse than, you know, the cake, the gay cake deal in Oregon.
But what line? What line? And these aren't Nazi symbols. They're dollar signs that resemble the swastika. Okay, yeah, I mean, you could look at them and go, okay, yeah, it's a neat play on a swastika. It's not. But what line?
Well, because it just inflames a few people.
It ticks people off?
It ticks off some people, and it puts hatred in the minds of other people because of the correlation between Nazism and the president.
That's the viewer's problem.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, is that some viewers take it as offense, others take it as truth, and they run with it. And that's the media spin, if you will, that's been going on for years, and now we have this fake news to where none of us know what is true anymore.
But that's the viewer's problem. That's the person who's looking at it. That's their problem. If they look at something, listen, we joked about something earlier today, David and I. There are people out there who actually believe the earth is flat. One of them plays for a team that I grew up loving. And I mean, he's not alone. But people will believe what they want to believe.
I have a friend like that.
Yes.
And you know what? He comes in and we just laugh at him, shake our heads and listen to him, and hardly anybody looks at his post anymore.
Then why can't people just do the same thing to this billboard?
Well, I haven't seen it. I don't care about it. This is a controversy that's coming. But what I'm saying is that when you start inflaming people who have a mental disorder, it's like crying wolf in a fire in a crowded theater.
Everybody has a mental disorder. Steve, I appreciate the call.
To me, and again, I'm not going to say can't, you shouldn't ever equate anything to the Nazis or Hitler. It's no different than, was it a principal or a teacher who dressed up in blackface over the weekend or last week and had a slave auction and told one of the students to turn around so everyone can see your buttocks? You just shouldn't do that stuff anymore. It's not the way you move a society ahead, is to have your students in your class pretend to be slaves, especially if there are blacks in there, because you're trying to teach them history about what it was to be brought to this country 500 years ago.
And you're equating... I'm
equating hate with hate. That's what I'm equating.
But one of those things actually happened.
So did the Nazis! That really happened!
Okay, this is just a billboard. It's just a picture.
It's hate. It's like Steve says, there are going to be people... There's been three people since March 10th wanting to get into the White House.
Yeah.
You don't think this kind of... I'm going to use the word propaganda, but I don't mean propaganda. I'm just can't think of another
messaging,
word right now. Messaging, whatever.
Packaging.
Doesn't inflame within people, just like the people who were so upset when Obama, that he was going to come take all their guns, that everybody believed that, and it became a run on guns. Now people are going to think and equate Donald Trump with Nazism, a dictator, and they're not going to want to do something about it. And even if nobody ever gets to him, the fact that people are climbing over the fence in the White House with a knife, with grenades, with smoke bombs, it's not a healthy environment for the country. That's what I'm saying.
But that's not the fault of the billboard. They're already crazy.
But what I'm saying is like Steve was saying, if those people are already crazy and you light that fuse, you're not.
Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
I like the sound of that. Who's this Nate guy?
He's an idiot who fills in on the morning show once in a while. 9:37, David Allen, Nate Shellman here with you.
It's the last time this is going to happen.
Yes, I'll do the show alone from now on. Hey, I got an instant message from Jeremy, who's in Marsing. Hey, guys, what if I started a joke that Nate Shellman's a pedophile? Let's say that it gets printed in the paper as satire. Would you be okay with that? Would it affect how people look at you? While it's not true, some would just go along with it without looking into it. People are lazy and believe what they want. With that in mind, yes, you may have a right to say something, but at times a closed mouth might be the more beneficial. Just my opinion.
Well, the opinion is different because I am not an elected official, and if you start spreading that rumor about me, I can go after you for libel or slander, okay? To equate somebody, say they like money or say they're under control of the Russians or that they're a clown, you're lampooning a president, and the name you call him doesn't affect what he can do in Congress. Now, if you were to do that to me, I'm going to find you. We have a whole team of lawyers whose faces we will never see, and I'll own your teddy bear. Okay, it'll be mine. Everything from your car to your backyard will be mine, in my possession. But you can say Trump is like Hitler. You can. People said Obama was like Hitler,
and I thought that was bad too.
Well,
I did. Boise Rabble Rouser wrote in and says, are you familiar with Godwin's Law? Godwin's Law states that an argument grows longer and more heated. It becomes increasingly likely that somebody will bring up Adolf Hitler or the Nazis. When such an event occurs, the person guilty of evoking Hitler or Nazis has effectively forfeited the argument. An example, dude, shut up. Nobody cares what you think. Oh, so now you're trying to censor me? Go to hell, you damn Nazi. Right there, your argument's done. You're done. Because I how do I come back with that? No, I'm not a Nazi. I don't want to see 6 million Jews killed.
336-3700, 336-3700. Let's go to Byron. Byron, you're on 670 KBY. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I don't want to change the subject. Good show today, but...
But you will.
I'm so tired of hearing about the Russian interference in the election.
Which they're investigating. The FBI is investigating that.
My whole point, and I guess I can call here every week and point this out, is what effect did they have on the election?
You know what? I don't know if they had an effect on the outcome. I think they're definitely investigating the interference with the DNC.
Okay. That's my whole point.
So, yeah.
If the Russians or anybody hacked the DNC, that's no different than a reporter getting a picture of a presidential candidate on a boat in Miami, Florida, with a hottie sitting in his lap and putting it on the front page. The DNC, all that stuff happened. It was true.
Was that Gary Hart?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gary Hart.
Did that affect my vote? Yes, it did. Well, in that sense, it's true. So for them to say that the election was rigged, it's just the perception of the Democrats and Hillary Clinton that got exposed. And that's how it affected the election. Why have an investigation on that?
I think they're investigating the hacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
even Obama said right after, even President Obama said there was no zero evidence of any of the voting machines being hacked or being tampered with. So, yeah. In the meantime, I don't think I've heard of any Russian nationals voting in the election either.
It's tired. It's tiring.
Well, I agree with you. Darlene, you're on 670 KBY. Go ahead, Darlene.
Yeah, I'm just calling because it sounds to me like you guys are bullying each other.
Are what?
Bullying each other, calling each other idiots and that kind of thing. And we're trying to teach our youth not to do that.
Well, you know, that's cute and all. The thing is...
No, it's not cute.
It's cute because I'm not offended when he calls me an idiot and he's not offended when I call him a snowflake.
At all.
You know, and there is a line where you don't want to bully. You don't want to throw somebody in a locker. But at the end of the day, maybe we actually are being just a little bit too sensitive.
Yeah, there's not true debate going on. There's name calling going on. And I was bullied as a young person, and it wasn't physical.
Darlene, we're talking about a billboard. Okay, we're talking about a billboard that he's offended by that I'm not offended by. Okay?
Yeah.
And you're hung up on the idea that he called me a name and I called him a name back. But the message is about the billboard.
It doesn't matter what the message is about. There's still bullying going on.
Yeah, life sucks. Life is tough. I'm telling you.
You're saying that what you said, somebody said, we just tell him to grow up and get past it.
Yeah.
Bullying there's not something to go up and get past.
Yes, yes, it actually is. Yes, yes, it is. Yes, sorry. We'll disagree. And maybe I'm bullying you right now. David, am I bullying her?
I'm just going to sit here quietly.
Yeah, snowflake. We can't. You can do this.
Well, and
this is the whole. This is the whole exercise.
And here's the thing. I obviously, you might think I'm a snowflake. That I don't think you're an idiot.
I don't.
I
don't
doing
think
it
you're
for
a snowflake.
The show. I was
I'm
doing
calling,
it for the show.
I'm calling you a snowflake now to actually tick her off.
Yeah, I was doing it for the show. I don't think Nate's an idiot, so I was actually not bullying him. We were doing a dodge.
The
parry
fact that
thrust.
You have to explain that makes my head want to explode.
That's why I did it. Because I don't like your head exploding.
Go to Hank and Boise.
Chris, come back. Hurry.
I was told the only thing that they told me, it's like, hey, when you do the show, you can't be as angry as you are in the afternoon.
And look at how angry you are.
And I was
going to
try. I was really going to try. I haven't had any coffee. I gave up coffee for Lent. I'm going on iced tea. That's it. Hank, you're on 670 KBOI. Go ahead, Hank. Are you going to call me a name?
There were twice, two attempts in our history to suppress the idea of free speech. One was the Alien Sedition Act of 1798. The other one was the attempt by the Wilson administration in 1917 in their Sedition Act to restrict what could be said and not said. And of course, eventually it was Oliver Wendell Holmes' dissent in Abrams' case that ultimately became the law on this, saying that the ultimate... The best ultimate good was the free trade of ideas. That the best test of truth is the power of the idea of the thought to get accepted in the competition of the market. And the only thing I say is this: that when you have a national media that for instance, restricts speech, if you can't say anything negative about, let's say, the big ears of Obama, but it's permissible to make fun, let's say. Where one side or the other tries to restrict in the name of political correctness, then you no longer have the free competition of ideas. It's not the name-calling that's harmful. It's restricting people from saying it. It's what's ultimately harmful to liberty.
So, David, I just want to make sure I get it. I want to make sure I clearly
okay.
am. Because, by the way, you and I argue every day
this
off
is,
air.
This is everything in my office is what's happening
yes.
right now.
My warm-up act is actually at noon.
So for everybody who doesn't like me, realize I have to put up with this every day.
Every day.
So come on to my side and be nicer to me.
No, don't do it. It's not the fact that they called him a name. It's the fact that they equated him. You could equate Donald Trump with the Easter Bunny. You could equate Donald Trump with Jimmy Carter or whatever. It's when you go Nazi and when you go Hitler. That's the
yes.
part.
Yes.
So it's a matter of taste.
I always want everyone to respect the office of the president. You can disagree with whoever holds that office, but the office itself should be respected. And I said that during the 8 years of Obama. At the end of the day, I might have disagreed with everything he said, and I might have disagreed with a lot of his policies, but President Obama was my president. And if I had ever met him, I would have said, Mr. President, it's really good to meet you. If this woman met Donald Trump, she'd say, Adolf Hitler, it's really good to meet you.
And that's her right.
I'm not saying it's not a right. Here's the thing. If you work in a donut shop and somebody walks in weighing 600 pounds, you're free to say, hey, fatty, how many dozen do you want today? And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get your ass fired.
Oh,
you're going to get your ass fired. You can say whatever you want. I'm not trying to restrict anybody's freedom of speech. I'm saying there are repercussions to that speech.
Well, what's the
repercussion? Don't be surprised when it happens.
What's the repercussion?
That people, just like this CEO of Starbucks who came out and said, we're going to hire 10,000 immigrants, and we don't care if they're illegal or not, blah, blah, blah. And now he's having to step down because Starbucks has had a downturn in sales. So that's the repercussion. So the repercussions for this artist is that people don't want to buy her work or won't put it in art galleries anymore. So she won't make a living, which is fine.
Such is life.
But that's what I'm saying. She's free to do that. Why would you purposely want to put yourself in a situation where you're harming yourself? It makes no sense.
Conflict creates cash. You
Not
know
always.
This.
Not always. Not always. Doesn't happen.
336-3700, 336-3700, #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone. I have no problem. People equated Obama with as a Nazi. People are equating Donald Trump as a Nazi. It doesn't offend me at all. I have no problem with it. David has a problem with it. We're continuing this conversation. Your thoughts next.
On 670 KBOI.
All right, let me tell you this right here, since we're kind of talking about this. The 10 happiest countries in the world, U.S. isn't in the top 10. And it's because of crap like this that we're not in the top 10.
Who's number one?
Norway. Norway, Denmark, Iceland, Switzerland, Finland, Netherlands, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and Sweden are your top 10.
I thought you were going for the top 10 coldest countries ever.
Nope. Top 10 happiest places, countries in the world.
It's because they drink a lot.
Believe me, I'm drinking a lot.
Daniel in Napa emails me, says, if people associate Trump supporters with Nazis, what might that lead to?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, it was already unsafe to wear a Trump hat in public. Doesn't this make things worse?
I saw a story over the weekend of a guy who was wearing a Make America Great Again, and the restaurant didn't wait on him, wasn't going to serve him.
Sucks. So does he get offended by it, or I mean,
I'm just saying, if you can put a bakery out of business for not making a cake for a same-sex marriage, you can put a restaurant out of work for not serving you because you have a Make America Great.
But you
on.
Think that's wrong? It's
no,
wrong.
There are repercussions. I'm saying you're free to not give that dude his steak and eggs. What I'm telling you is if he then sues you and you go out of business because of that lawsuit, that's on you.
336-3700, Todd. You're on 670 KBOI. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, guys. So David earlier asked the question, why do people do things, or why would someone say something that would, you know, obviously hurt them?
Mm-hmm.
he doesn't listen all the time in the afternoon.
It's pretty simple. People don't do what is in their best interest. People do what they believe is in their best interest. I'm guessing whoever made this billboard is probably surrounded by people who think just like her, and I heard that it was a woman that made it. I don't know.
It was a lady from California, by the way. She doesn't even live in Arizona.
Oh, she's in California. Well,
yeah.
She's used the word. She thinks that everyone agrees with her. I mean, it's as simple as that. She's doing what she believes is in her best interest, which is speaking what she thinks is the truth, even though she's wrong, to people that she thinks will agree with her.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Andy, you're on 670 KBOI. Go ahead, Andy.
Good morning. Hey, I was just listening to you guys talk to her, and the lady called in, said you were bullying each other.
Yes.
That's obviously, she doesn't know the difference between bullying and sparring. You guys were just verbally sparring.
Put them up.
Which is a lot better than the alternative.
Well, that's true. That's a very good point.
Exactly. A billboard is just a billboard. Name calling is just name calling. The bad stuff comes when you hand a bar of soap to people and say, "No, really, it's a shower." No, then it's not. That's bad trickery. That's when millions of people die. We have time?
We got about 45 seconds.
Jackie, you have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I've been listening to your sparring and what is happening is total disrespect.
Yep.
It has been disrespect for many years, and I don't know if there's something that can be done about it, but it's really sad that this is the way our country's gone.
I agree with you 100%, and it's degrading and denigrating to everybody in the country, and it's embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing. Other countries look at us being disrespectful, calling our elected officials names like this and go, wait, and they don't get thrown in jail for this?
Now you're being embarrassing. Coming up after the top of the hour news, national news, and then with Rick, Rush Limbaugh is back. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Be safe, everybody. We'll see you in the morning. 670 KBOI.
Hey, it's Chris Wall.